بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو إعراضا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا بينهما صلحا والصلح خير وأحضرت الأنفس الشح وإن تحسنوا وتتقوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, we have a very critical topic at hand and the time is relatively restricted, but I will nonetheless endeavor to try and communicate some important aspects regarding marriage, both from the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and from that of his noble companions. May Allah be pleased with them. Somebody describing marriage in English said, it is work in progress with a lifetime contract. So you have work in progress, a 2-year contract, we're putting up a condominium, 5-year contract, we're building roads, 6-year contract. What is marriage? It is work in progress with a lifetime contract. And someone else said that love often intoxicates, marriage always sobers. Love often intoxicates, you infatuated, you have this infatuation over a particular woman, and you would do the world and you'll do anything and everything, but marriage often sobers. So the young boy went to his dad and he said, I want to get married. So the father said, okay, just sit down, my boy. Say quickly, I'm sorry. He says, no, but I mean, if I'm wrong, I can understand that. He says, no, just sit down, say I'm sorry. He says, no, dad, but if I've committed an error, if I have done an offense, I can understand the logic, the rationale. Listen, my boy, say I am sorry. So, okay, I'm sorry. Right now you're ready to get married. When you can apologize for things you haven't done, then surely you are now ready to get married. And probably one of the best quotes that I have read, and it would set the tone to advance the talk, is that the formula to a happy marriage is not to wed the perfect partner, but to love the imperfect partner perfectly well. The formula to a happy marriage is not to marry the perfect partner, but rather to love that imperfect partner, be it a male or a female, that fallible spouse, that fallible female, that fallible male, with all their defects and their faults, but to love them perfectly, that in essence is a perfect marriage. When we look into the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then his honorable consorts and noble spouses were fallible humans and fallible mortals. And what made the marriage of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam so unique was not that it was hiccup free, or there were no glitches, or there were no snags, or there were no setbacks, but it was the maturity with which he responded to the situation. And today it's the lack of that maturity that creates the crisis that we have in our marriage. It's the lack of that vision and maturity and integrity. And we sometimes enter into marriage with too much expectations. Just too much. This must happen, that must happen. And that is typically where we find the crisis in which we are. The narration is in Bukhari. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, Kunna ma'ashara Qurayshin naghlibu nisa'ana. Falamma qadimna al-ansar, idha qawmun taghlibuhum nisa'uhum. فَطَفِقَ نِسَاؤُنَا يَأْخُذْنَ مِنْ أَدَبِ نِسَاءِ الْأَنصَارِ. We, that is the Quraysh, as long as we lived in Mecca, we enjoyed relative respect, dignity and clout in our marriages. But then when we migrated to Medina, we found that our fellow brothers and Ansar, they were very passive and gentle, and their women were much more assertive and dominant. So our women started associating with the Ansari women and they started getting ideas. And suddenly the gentle and the soft and the passive woman in Makkah was now loud, was assertive, and she could communicate herself with a very strong sense of authority in which she came across. So I got into a bit of a squabble and an altercation with my wife, فَرَاجَعَتْنِي, she retorted, she responded, فَأَنْكَرْتُ ذَلِكَ, I said, but that's not you. She said, well, you better get used to the new me. فَأَنْكَرْتُ ذَلِكَ, I said, no, but that's in bad taste. She said, hang on, I'm not the only one. إِنَّ أَزْوَاجَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيُرَاجِعْنَهُ, the spouses of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم have a fair share of arguments with him. And at times in an argument, this way or that way, they won't be chatting for a good day. And that includes your daughter Hafsa. فَجَمَعْتُ ثِيَابِ, I gathered my clothes. I dashed off to the house of my daughter. I said, أَتُغَاذِبُ إِحْدَاكُنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, oh Hafsa, I have been told that occasionally you get into an argument with the Nabi of Allah and you won't chat for a good day. She's like, yeah, that's normal. That's usual. I said, listen, please, oh my daughter, tone down, calm down, relax yourself. Understand the profile of the marriage in which you are. Appreciate the profile of your husband and your partner. Ya Nisa al-Nabi man ya'ti minkunna bifahishatin mubayyina yudha'af laha al-'adhabu dhi'fayn wa kana dhalika 'ala Allahi yaseera. That the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are reminded in this verse of their position, their rank and their status, and hence the implications of this year. That if for Allah forbid you commit any wrong due to the proximity to prophethood and due to your closeness to the Nabi of Allah, then your crime would be double and your offense would be double. Anyway, I said this and then I moved on. I went to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I said to him, O Prophet of Allah, you know, in Makkah we enjoyed this and it was really good. But since we came here, things in our domestic setup and our homes have somewhat changed. And our women have become more loud and more assertive and more dominant. فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَبَسُّمَ. Nabi Sassim just smiled. He had a little, you know, chuckle and he didn't say much. Then I said, O Nabi of Allah, I went to my daughter, your wife, Hafsa, and I gave her a piece of my mind. And I told her, listen, Hafsa, this is not on. So, فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَبَسُّمَةً أُخْرَى. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just gave another smile. And often I say, many a crisis in our marriages can be resolved with a sincere smile. If we are not cynical, we're not sarcastic, we're not obnoxious, we're not nasty, just sincere and honest, and we can smile, then that smile often can diffuse many situations that are heated and hostile. The very Umar radiallahu anhum, whom we know was robust, who we know was strong, but even Umar had a fair share of marital challenges and curve balls in his own relationship. So here Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sends Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who enjoys the privilege of being the leader of the scholars on the day of Qiyamah, أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ مُعَاذُ ibn Jabalin. He sends Sayyidina Mu'adh to Banu Kilab, that go there, collect the zakat and then distribute it. So Sayyidina Mu'adh obliges and he goes there, he collects the zakat. The norm of the time is when people come to collect zakat, etc., then the locality, as a token of acknowledgement to the collector, they gift him and they reward him, whatever the nature of the gift might be. Just in reciprocation of his presence and his, you know, coming out to assist. So they acknowledge him. And this is again something important in our marriages, that we need to have mutual acknowledgement. I often say the recipe to sustain any relationship is mutual recognition. And the lack of recognition is the formula for disaster. Employer, employee, husband and wife, parent and child, there needs to be mutual kind words constantly. By our very nature, Allah has made us, we love to be acknowledged. We love to be appreciated. And when we look into the books of hadith, there are dedicated chapters where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made lavish praises regarding all his respective spouses. My Aisha is like this. My Sophia is like this. My Maymuna is like this. My Zainab radiallahu anha is like this. So just praising one another. And let us be honest with ourselves. How often do we say kind words? How often do we praise? Either way, we need to learn to acknowledge, reciprocate and say kind words. That is found in the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a great extent. And tragically, we just take things for granted. You know, on that note, I must just share, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah had given him the right that in his polygamous relationships, he was exempted from maintaining fairness between his spouses. So this was a divine concession allocated to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has been referenced in the 22nd juz in the Quran, that turji man tasha'u minhunna wa tu'wi ilayka man tasha'u wa man ibtaghayta mimman 'azalta fala junaha 'alayk. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can rotate yourself between your spouses at your discretion. So if you feel uncomfortable with a particular spouse for a period of time, you could position yourself there and postpone the relationship with the other spouse. Obviously, your duty as a husband will continue in providing for them shelter, etc. But you don't have to fairly rotate your nights. So this was a concession granted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we all would wish for that concession. But the best part of it is the Prophet of Allah never opted for the concession, never mind abused the concession. He never used it, never mind abused it. And he diligently, religiously would rotate himself to between each spouse to the extent when he became ill, critical and terminal and his health did not permit. And now there were medical reasons that it had become cumbersome upon him to move himself daily. Even there he sought the permission of his spouses if they consent for him to base himself at the house of Aisha radiallahu anha simply because his health did not allow. Now can you imagine that? Can you imagine if a person has miles in the aviation industry and he doesn't redeem his miles, he'll forfeit his miles. So how often we create a flight to travel just for the sake of redeeming our miles? That I can't lose a concession, I have a perk, I have X amount of points, just create a reason and fly. The Prophet of Allah never ever opted for this concession once. Anyway, coming back to this incident of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So he sends Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Mu'adh ibn Jabal collects the money and he distributes it. And then he returns home. His wife asks him, how was your trip? It was great. And what happened? أَيْنَمَا جِئْتَ بِهِ مِمَّا يَأْتِ بِهِ الْوُلَاتُ مِنْ هَدِيَّةٍ لِأَهْلِهِمْ. So generally when people go, they receive a gift and a token and some award or some gift. Where's yours? I don't see anything. So Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, in his personal capacity, he didn't want to take anything, that I went for a duty and I did it. But you know, if your wife can ask you a question of God, sometimes you can stammer and murmur and lose your balance. So he said, قَدْ كَانَ مَعِي رَقِيبٌ يَقِذٌ يُحْصِي عَلَيَّ. There was a guardian who was monitoring my affairs. There was a guardian monitoring my affairs. Meaning, Allah is watchful over me. I went for a duty. I didn't want to dilute my endeavor. The woman misunderstood this and she thought that Sayyidina Mu'az was implying that Umar radiallahu anhu had appointed someone to keep a watchful eye over her husband. Oh, whoa, whoa. Now you can imagine when there is a misunderstanding, to change that mindset could take, it's a tall order. It's a big ask. So she frowns and she objects and she says, قَدْ كُنْتَ أَمِينًا فِي عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَأَمِينًا فِي عَهْدِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ ثُمَّ بَعَثَ عَلَيْكَ عُمَرْ رَقِيبًا لِيُحْصِي عَلَيْكَ. This is strange. The Prophet of Allah trusted you. Abu Bakr had no reservations in you. Suddenly Umar needs somebody to appoint to monitor you. So she goes immediately to the house of Sayyidina Umar. So Sayyidina Mu'az is like, relax, relax. It's not all that serious. No. I'm going. And yet it becomes a family issue. And yet it becomes a personal. And now polygamous relations. So this is the flip side. So now it has ripple effects on all the wives. So if one goes wrong, you can imagine it's having implications on the others. وَأَشَاعَتْ ذَٰلِكَ فِي نِسْوَةِ عُمَرِ. The point I'm saying is the marriages of Sahaba. We read in this, you know what, flamboyant celebrities and superstars, and we have all these images of this perfect life. I tweeted it the other day and I will say it like this here. Let us not be deceived by what we've seen. I personally, in my humble capacity, had counseled many couples whom I thought were the happiest of individuals till they came knocking my door to ask for guidance in their marriage, to understand that, listen, what I thought and what I perceived and what I'm seeing is an absolute reality. young, attractive, affluent, wealthy, anchored, jubilant, happy, joyous, everything that you would potentially aspire for. You could tie it up to this couple, like what could be wrong in this marriage? Yet the very couple knocks my door, and then it makes me think that life is not all that hunky-dory as we assume. And when we look into the lives of Sahaba, what made their marriage so amazing was the manner in which they interacted, and not that there were no issues and glitches and snags and setbacks. So she goes to the house of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and he says, listen, you need to tell Amirul Mu'mineen, he might be Amir in his own capacity, but how dare he interferes with the integrity of my husband Mu'adh. And she goes from one to the other. And then what happens? The respective spouses summon Umar. Umar is brought to the book. Wow. The man, even the devil changes lanes for. Even the devil changes lanes, and yes, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is brought. And each wife is like, you know what? Muaz's wife was here and she was moaning and groaning. And can you deal with this separate? Why must Muaz radiallahu anhu's wife come here? And why don't you trust Muaz? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I don't trust Muaz. What's this all about? But call Muaz and come. Ripple effects. And Sayyidina Muaz, when I read this, I said, look at how natural their lives were. And there's not a license for women to do this. You know, I'm not saying that because, we, you know, in English they say, behind every successful man, there is a woman. And behind every angry man is a man who doesn't know what I did wrong now. behind every successful man, behind every man, there is a woman behind. He's a great man because there's an amazing woman behind him. The unsung heroes. The unsung heroes. Those that are in the quiet, those that are moving and shaking and taking care of the house. Awesome. But behind every angry woman is a man who doesn't know what I did wrong now. So you walk in and things are not right. Now this poor guy is grappling and he starts rewinding from last night. And it's I'm speculating, oh yeah, I kind of praised that guy's wife. I think it's that, yeah. No, but it couldn't be all that because breakfast was fine. Breakfast was fine. And this poor guy is grappling. He's grappling. And then he's like, I made that remarks about my in-laws. And he's just running his mind and he's clueless. He's clueless. He doesn't know what's the move and where's the anger from. He just doesn't know where's it coming from. So there's a balance to both things. They say, you know, love is like Wi-Fi. You can't see it, but you know when you lost it. Love is like Wi-Fi, you know. You can't really see it. It's not tangible. But when that Wi-Fi is gone, you know, the signal is down and you lost contact. So Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is called. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ba'athtu alayka raqiba. Ba'athtu alayka raqiba. But like Mu'adh, did I appoint anybody? No, not at all. So well, this is what your wife is saying. Well, Umar, I came back. I was asked. I said there was a guardian. She misunderstood. And I couldn't convince her otherwise. Umar said, the buck stops here. The buck stops here. He puts his hand in his pocket. He takes out a sum of money. He says, go and buy her a lavish gift and please her. Subhanallah. Adhikha. Go take this here and finish. It's over. Now, he understood that that's the nature and that's how it's going to happen. You know, that's the stride. That's the challenges. You're not going to be able to change this in any way. Now, there are a few points that I want to speak about and I hope my time allows me. The world in which we live today, there's much focus on our image. There's much focus. I read a book, CBT, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy. And in that, an interview was reported when 90% of women suffer image anxiety. 69% of men wish they looked like others. 50% of young girls admitted that they smoke more to suppress their appetite than an addiction. So we've become very, very figure conscious. In a world where we are so driven by figures, can you imagine how conscious people would be about their partners and their spouses? When we look into the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a fair share. There was a fair share of active affection, love, romance, for a lack of better word, a crush, and keeping the flame burning. There was a fair share. Everything in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in balance. Everything in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in balance. Often we enjoy that infatuation in the early years, and then we neglect it in the latter years, thereby creating room and scope for unfortunate, unpleasant circumstances where either partner abandons one and elopes with another. May Allah protect and guide one and all.
So look at our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. She's this amazing wife and spouse of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she's sitting with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she says, "Can I quiz you?" And the Nabi of Allah is like, "Go for it." أرأيت لو نزلت واديا أرأيت لو نزلت واديا وفيها شجرة أكل منها وشجرة لم يوكل منها في أيها كنت ترتع بعيرك يا رسول الله. Oh, Prophet of Allah, let me ask you a question. You get onto the back of your mount, you're traveling in a desert, and then you come to a location where there are many trees from which other animals have grazed, and then there's this clean, pure, untouched virgin tree. Where would you probably take your animal to graze? Look at the chat. Look at the warmness. Look at the affection. This is the greatest of human, the noblest of human. You know, sometimes you get some people that hit this level of piety, and then it hits another thing. Ramzan mayu handi watoni karwani. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبل إحدى نسائه وهو صائم ثم تضحك. Aisha radiallahu anha says, "I know something." What? Tell us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to passionately kiss one of his spouses while he was fasting, and then she used to have a smirk and blush. And that was her modesty, because the reference was herself. That was her modesty and her bashfulness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while observing the fast, and you can imagine, I say this here, that the cleanliness and the oral hygiene and the sacred mouth of the blessed, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was more fragrant when he was fasting than our mouths are when we are not fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very particular of oral hygiene. كان إذا دخل بيته بدأ بالسواك. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, so when he came home, what was the first thing? Because oral hygiene plays a great role in bonding, in keeping people close. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very, very particular. So we need to be also particular. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةِ. That I'm passionate to adorn myself as I want my wife to adorn herself for me. Often today it's the absence of dressing for one another and complimenting one another that we go out in the outside world almost hungry for the praises of others. So when another woman compliments me, I'm conceited, I'm inflated. I cannot describe my excitement. And somebody makes a remark to my wife, the same is said. Why? Because we are not feeding the need of one another by me praising, complimenting, acknowledging, telling my wife, you look so beautiful, you look so amazing, you're so wonderful, and she not telling it to me. So there is a vacuum in our lives. And when somebody else say, you know, you're still looking young, you're still looking well, and now immediately a man starts getting different ideas, and his mind starts playing mental gymnastics. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I would take my animal to graze by that tree where no other animal had come. Yani anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lam yatazawwaj bikran siwaha. The implication was quite obvious and apparent that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not wedded anyone else that was a virgin other than Aisha radiallahu anha. And I've been quoting these couplets where the poet speaks about these multiple privileges of Aisha radiallahu anha. I'll just share it with you briefly and probably translate one, two stanzas of it because it's quite time consuming, but it's very amazing, highlighting the profile of Aisha radiallahu anha. يا مبغضي لا تأتي قبر محمد فالبيت بيتي والمكان مكاني إني خصصت على نساء محمد بصفات بر تحتهن معاني وسبقتهن إلى الفضائل كلها فالسبق سبقي والعنان عناني مرض النبي ومات بين ترائبي فاليوم يومي والزمان زماني زوجي رسول الله لم أر غيره زوجي رسول الله لم أر غيره الله زوجني به وحباني وأتاه جبريل الأمين بصورتي فأحبني المختار حين رآني أنا بكره العذراء عندي سره وضجيعه في منزلي قمراني وتكلم الله العظيم بحجتي وبراءتي في محكم القرآن والله خفرني وعظم حرمتي وعلى لسان نبيه براني والله في القرآن قد لعن الذي بعد البراءة بالقبيح رماني والله وبخ من أراد تنقصي إفكا وسبح نفسه في شاني إني لمحصنة الإزار بريئة ودليل حسن طهارتي إحصاني والله أحصنني بخاتم رسله وأذل أهل الإفك والبهتان وسمعت وحي الله عند محمد من جبرائيل ونوره يغشاني أوحى إليه وكنت تحت ثيابه فحنى علي بثوبه خباني من ذا يفاخرني وينكر صحبتي ومحمد في حجره رباني.
I cannot possibly tell you what the poet has encapsulated here, highlighting the multiple accolades and the rich feat and milestones and achievements of Aisha radiallahu anha. In essence, he speaks about the privilege of Aisha radiallahu anha. Ana bikruhu al-adhra, zawji rasulullah. My husband is the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I don't know another man in my life. Lam ara ghayrahu. And my selection was not my choice or his proposal, but it was the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how often the Prophet of Allah would put his blessed head in my lap. The Sahaba out with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just look at this warmness. Just look at this warmness. So they're out in a particular campaign. And then what happens is that the pendant of Aisha radiallahu anha is missing. So people are looking for it. Aisha radiallahu anha is looking. Because she's looking, the Messenger of Allah will not move. And because he won't move, the people won't move. And it's a simple pendant that has gone missing. But obviously for a woman, it's her pride, it's her passion, it's a feeling. And you need to be sensitive to this. You need to be sensitive to this here. You can't ignore, shun or shirk or overlook. So now you're in battle, you're returning, and the spouse of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's pendant goes missing. And this creates a halt and it has ripple effects. فَأَقَامَ النَّاسُ فَأَقَامَتْ عَائِشَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنَا عَلَىٰ إِلْتِمَاسِهِ. So she's looking, the Messenger of Allah halts because of her, and others wouldn't dare move because of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And finally they can't find anything. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam puts his blessed head in the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha and he falls off to sleep. Just look at a warm moment. I mean, at a moment like this here, if my wife delays me and her handbag is missing, if I can take another flight and put her on another flight, I'll do that. You know, I don't want to sit in the same aisle. I don't want to cross gaze. I just want to be away because I'm losing my balance and my composure. And you're in journey and people are with you and it can be a bit challenging. And now it's like, what do you do? And the Nabi of Allah is relaxed and he puts his head in the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha and he falls off to sleep. And he's just calm and relaxed. And people come to Abu Bakr and they said, Abu Bakr, I mean, you need to be real and you need to talk to your daughter. This doesn't happen like this, man. So my dad comes to me, فَجَعَلَ يَتْعُنُنِي فِي خَاصِرَتِي, and he jabs me and he nudges me in my side. لَا يَمْنَعُنِي مِنَ التَّحَرُّكِ إِلَّا مَكَانَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And the Nabi of Allah's blessed head is in my lap and my dad is giving me this big eyes and he jabs me and I couldn't move because I don't want to discomfort the sleep of my husband Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Again, my sister, if I may ask, would you take that precaution for your husband's sleep? You might do it for your son. You might do it. Nallahu teloche. Right? But what about your husband? What about your spouse? What about your partner? Do you give that equal recognition? My dad is giving me a verbal admonition and he is challenging me. And I wouldn't dare move. I wouldn't dare move because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed head is in my lap. And I am, trying to comfort him as much. Anyway, finally his eyes open up. And we sit up, and just then the verses of Tayammum are revealed. وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا. That if you're in journey and you don't have water, then surely you can access sand. And that's the form of purity. And then Usayd ibn Hudayr comes to Abu Bakr. مَا هِيَ بِأَوَّلِ بَرْكَتِكُمْ يَا آلَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. Oh, Abu Bakr, you're amazing. And your daughter is just amazing and beyond description. That even an apparent setback that came to us via her,
open up a door of ease for this ummah al-qiyamah. That she held us back, the Prophet of Allah held back. Surely today if something goes wrong, there is going to be a different revelation coming down in journey to say there's a different ease. But just look at the tolerant nature of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, rifqam bil qawarir. Rifqam bil qawarir. Oh, go gentle with women. They glass. They glass. A woman is very strong physically. She's very strong in her mind. But in terms of her emotions, she is probably one of the most fragile creations that Allah has made. Emotionally, she is very, very fragile. And the Prophet of Allah used the metaphor and the example of glass. He said, rifqam bil qawarir. Just go gentle with the glass. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi says, shubbiha an-nisa'u bil qawarir fi al-riqqati wa al-du'fi wa sur'ati al-inkisar. That the similitude and the parable the Prophet of Allah gave with glass is in three things. What? Shubbiha an-nisa'u bil qawarir fi al-riqqati, delicate, wa al-du'fi, weakness, wa sur'ati al-inkisar, fragility, something that is fragile, handle with care. So you got to handle it. You know, somebody said life is fragile, handle with prayer. Life is fragile, handle with prayer. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam referenced woman to glass, extremely fragile. So here is this amazing incident, and Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of it in I'lamun Nisa, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is traveling with all his spouses. It's Hajjatul Wada. And it's the final Hajj. He's the Nabi, he's the leader. Everybody has gathered around. And you know, we have this, for those that are not married or going to get married, you have this perception, my marriage is going to be different. I'm just going to have it all in order. So mine will work. My kids, oh, they're just going to be perfect. It's just going to happen different, you know. He said, he's a perfect child. He said, he must be the first version. Huh? Because you know what? The first version is everything by the book. You read it and you apply it. I often quote this in humor where, you know, the first child swallowed a coin and the dad was hysterical and the mom was in anxiety and they're rushing to the clinic and the pediatrician and you need to do something. And by the time they had the fifth child and the child came up and he says, you know what, dad, my brother swallowed a coin. He says, that's fine, I'll just deduct that from your allowance. It's like we're over with that now. We're over, man. Five kids, who cares? Only toothache. Okay, it's fine. When your tooth, your head and your feet bother you, then come talk to me. Well, for now, just sleep, man. Just sleep, you know. And really, I must say this often because marriages take strain. Now, when marriages take strain, then how sad, how tragic, we actually play cat and mouse and we actually, you know what, withhold a child from the parent. How sad. I will deny you custody. I will deny you access. لا تضر والدة بولدها ولا مولود له بولده. Don't harm a mother because of her child. And don't harm a father because of his child. We might share our differences. But let's understand that's the biological mom and that's the biological father. Asma radiallahu anha, the wife of Zubair ibn Awam, the mother of Abdullah radiallahu anhu. The marriage had broken up. Asma was a great woman. Zubair ibn Awam was a great man. But tragically, the marriage didn't work out. Yet at the time when she bid farewell to her son and she made dua for him, Allahumma arham tula qiyamihi. Allahumma arham tula qiyamihi. Allahumma arham dham'ahu fi hawajir al-Madina wa Makkah wa huwa sa'im. Allahumma arham birrahu bi abihi wa ummihi. Oh Allah, reward my son for the lengthy prayers he offered. Reward my son for the fast he observed. Oh Allah, reward my son as much as me and his father didn't get along, but he was amazing to me and dutiful to his dad. Reward him for being kind to both. Where does the ummah have that maturity today? Almost the one parent telling the child that you will not have any relation with your dad or your mom. لا تضر والدتن. If you look at the context of this ayah, it's regarding suckling and nursing and breastfeeding the child. That whatever you decide in the interest of the child, let it be done with mutual consultation. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Don't omit courtesy in your marriage. You understand, I must be courteous to a fellow neighbor. I must be courteous to a customer. But what about courtesy to your customer, to your spouse and your partner? وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Don't omit common courtesy amongst yourself. So anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is traveling on the journey of Hajj, and with him are all his spouses, and Aisha radiallahu anha is with as well. And she's, you know, in her physique, she is petite, she is thin, she is simple, she doesn't have much weight to her body, and she doesn't have much luggage on her conveyance. And Safiya radiallahu anha is coming, in her body she is slightly heavy, and she has more luggage with her. So the Prophet of Allah realized that because Safiya radiallahu anha had a bit of luggage and her camel was sluggish, it was causing a bit of delay, and Aisha radiallahu anha was moving swift. So he applied his mind and his balance and his wisdom was amazing. He said, okay, we're just going to have a little change of plan here just to keep the rhythm going here. حَوِّلُوا مَتَاعَ عَيْشَ عَلَى جَمَلِ صَفِيَّةَ وَمَتَاعَ صَفِيَّةَ عَلَى جَمَلِ عَيْشَ. We're just going to do a simple swap here. Can we just transfer Safiya's luggage onto Aisha radiallahu anha's camel and Aisha radiallahu anha's luggage onto Safiya radiallahu anha's camel so we can keep the momentum going and we can move swiftly? And he did this here in good interest. It was amongst his spouses. But lo and behold, you know, each woman's personal thing. How dare you cross it without my permission, right? That's you entering in my jurisdiction here, right? So Aisha radiallahu anha did not welcome those sentiments. She didn't welcome that. And she said some stern words regarding her co-wife. And she says, yeah, she gets away again. And then, you know what, she's like this and she's like that. غَلَبَتْنَا هَذِهِ الْيَهُودِيَّ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Once again, this woman just comes her way and pushes her luck. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, settle down. So she looks at the Nabi of Allah and she said, أَلَسْتَ تَزْعُمُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. But you claim you're a prophet? Wow. Wow. The Nabi of Allah is in Hajj. It's his farewell Hajj. His spouses are with him. The entire Sahaba congregation in front of people. And Aisha radiallahu anha is having an emotional breakdown. And she's venting like any other woman would have her moment. But don't you claim you're a prophet? And like now, what's the tie between the two? What's the tie between the two? You know, and often they could corroborate or support an argument by irrelevant material. And I'm not saying always is the case, but so the Prophet of Allah also plays her on. Awafi shakkin. Why, Aisha, you have reservations about my prophethood? Fahalla adult. I would think that justice is synonymous to a prophet. If you're a prophet, you wouldn't invade my property. You wouldn't encroach on my things, yeah? So Abu Bakr intervenes and then he advances to his daughter and is like, Aisha, we are with people, yeah? What's this all about? And the Nabi of Allah said, Abu Bakr, back off, back off, back off. You know, and if I have it, I'm going to call your father. Your father needs to know what kind of daughter he is. You know? And the Nabi of Allah is like, Abu Bakr, back off. Oh, Nabi of Allah, but did you hear what she said? He said, yes, I heard. But you know she's emotional and at that time she loses her balance momentarily. And we just need to deal with it in a matured way. You know, they say women are strange. They cry when you hurt them and they cry when they hurt you. Women are strange. They cry when they hurt you. It's just amazing. They inflict something, you hurt them, they cry. Okay, that's fine. But then they inflict something on you and then they cry. But like, what's the use to cry? You made me cry. Look at the relation of Abdullah bin Rawaha. His head is in the lap of his wife. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu's head is in the lap of his wife. And they're having a, you know, casual moment. And Imam Nawawi has been mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's head was in the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha, and then he would read Quran during her period where she was going through her cycle in the month. And from this he deduces that jawazu qira'atil Quran biqurbin najasa, that it's permissible to recite Quran in the proximity of impurity. That imagine the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha is experiencing her cycle, and it even happened to on the journey of Hajj. She was traveling with the Prophet of Allah and then she had her cycle and she became depressed. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Aisha, just relax. We're together in this. هَذَا شَيْءٌ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى بَنَاتِ آدَمُ. Allah has decreed this on you. Allah has ordained and we will work together with you. It was togetherness in everything. So the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reciting Quran with his head in the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha said, whenever the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would eat or drink, he was very passionate to put his blessed lips at the precise location where I put my lips. This was his. In fact, Mufti Taqi Uthmani has written, and I really like this. He said that while we've been told, don't attach yourself to this world, to the mundane things of this world, to this transitory abode, to the embellishments of this world. But taking active steps to love your wife is part of akhirat and not dunya. You beautifying your house, you adorning your car, you taking pride in the things, that's dunya. But taking active steps to win your spouse and win her confidence, or vice versa, this has a connection to akhirah. This is part of deen. This is something that the Prophet ﷺ did. Now, unfortunately, we don't water this garden. We don't nurse this relation. We don't contribute to this relation, and we expect things to get better. And tragically, then we see what happens is, like, a brother I met and he was on holiday and he's like, Sheikh, I can't wait to go back to work. Why? Just leave it there. You know what? It's 2 weeks at home. It's just too much. We speak about the weather, and how long can you talk about the weather? And then we don't have common grounds. If we start any topic, it's just ugly and personal, and then we can't discuss. So it's like, you know, we need our separation from each other. And there are so many a marriages. There are so many a marriages which have an apparent skeleton, but inside it's hollow and there's nothing left in it. So this is just the beginning, and I'm looking at the time is running here. I was speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there was this element of warmness, of love, of affection between the spouses. So when the Prophet of Allah was returning, and the incident is with Jabir radiallahu anhu, just an anecdotal reference here. He was coming back with Jabir radiallahu anhu, and then they were returning, and then Jabir radiallahu anhu starts hastening his pace and he's moving swiftly. And the Nabi of Allah is like, Ma yu'ajjiluka ya Jabir. Jabir, you're really moving swiftly. What's all the excitement about? He said, Hadithu ahdin bi'ursin. Oh, Nabi of Allah, you don't know I got married. Oh, no, I don't have any clue. Good luck, you got married. Now they're coming back from a campaign. It's the closeness of the Prophet of Allah. It's the era of Nabuwat. It's nobility to its pinnacle. But look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's words, his interaction, his warmness, understanding the balance of love and affection that needs to happen in a marriage as well. Understanding that balance. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Bikran am thayyiban." Jabir, did you get married to a young girl or someone a bit more mature than elderly? Look at the question of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jabir, did you get married to someone young or slightly matured? So Jabir radiallahu anhu said, "Thayyiban." I went for a woman that's slightly elderly and more matured. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jabir, halla bikran tula'ibuha wa tula'ibuk, tudahikuha wa tudahikuk. Jabir, you young, you early, you fresh, you in your prime, you in your youth, you could have settled for someone young and you could have some fun together. And I'm paraphrasing respectfully here. You could spend some quality time and cheer one another and have some time. And again, look at the youth of that day. And that's so amazing. He said, O Prophet of Allah, I'm a young man. And I had those aspirations. But my dad moved on. Wali akhawatun sigar. And I had some young sisters and siblings at home. And I needed a spouse to come home, to be a partner to me, but to be like a motherly figure to my sisters as well. So I had to become selfless and not selfish. I had to look beyond my need because I had assumed a very colossal responsibility at home. So I said, let me go for maturity so she could be a spouse to me and like a motherly figure to my sisters. And the Prophet of Allah said, Asabta. Well, then Jabir, I salute your vision. I salute your vision and I respect your vision. But look at the warmness, look at the kind words that were being said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, unfortunately, we lose that. When Sayyidina Atika bint Zayd radiallahu anha, she had passed, her husband Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr had passed on. She was a woman of exceptional beauty, exceptional beauty. So when her husband moved on, then in lamenting her husband, she said, "Wa alaytu la tanfakku aini sakhinatan alayka wa la yanfakku jildi aghbara." That now that I've lost my spouse, I will never adorn and beautify and decorate myself. I'm going to live my life, you know, just like this. I will just pass my life like this. I often share that in Newman. Probably you heard it in one of my talks where the husband and wife were having this chat. And then the husband asked his wife, if I die, any plans to remarry? Na'ila radiallahu anha was the wife of Uthman. Na'ila radiallahu anha was the wife. And she took an active role to ward off the assassins when they came to kill Sayyidina Uthman. And in that she lost her fingers. She lost her fingers when the assassins came in to attack Sayyidina Uthman. She tried to ward them off and she lost her fingers. She was a woman of exceptional beauty. So when Sayyidina Uthman passed on, she had great proposals. Ala ra'sihim Muawiyah. And then you had the likes of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, who was the brother-in-law of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was a governor, who had beauty, who had financial clout, who had political stability, practically everything that a woman would aspire for. And Naila radiallahu anha said, لا يقعد مني مقعد عثمان أحد. Uthman was too modest for me, and I won't able to bring myself to become intimate with anyone after Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. So there were those type of examples that, you know, due to the loyalty of the previous spouse, or whatever reason, while Islam allows it and supports it and promotes it, that one should marry and continue, and it's absolutely fine. And these are from the text of the Quran. You know, sometimes we have these societal issues that after you lose your spouse, you need to get up in life and you must get married. You must go to work. Why? Life has to carry on. But if you get married, then people say, oh, how unfaithful. The Quran says, وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا عَرَّضْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْ خِطْبَةِ النِّسَاءِ أَوْ أَكْنَنْتُمْ فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ سَتَذْكُرُونَهُنْ. There is no harm for you if a woman is in iddat for you to just drop a hint. That listen, I believe your sister is in iddat, may Allah make it easy. But tell her not to worry after iddat, inshallah somebody is interested. Somebody is in. The Quran says, عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ سَتَذْكُرُونَهُنَّ. Allah knows you men won't able to resist the opportunity. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُوَاعِدُوهُنَّ سِرًّا. But don't formalize the relation. Don't make a formal commitment. إِلَّا أَن تَقُولُوا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. But that you say a kind word. And what is a kind word? That you make a hint. Anyway, this incident of Atika bint Zayd, long story short, so she said, I'm not going to adorn myself and in loyalty. I was mentioning that joke in the humor. So the husband asked his wife that after I pass on, would you remarry? She's like, no, I won't able to get married again. I'll just live with my sister. She's single. I'll live with my sister. She's single. I'll just live with her. So after a little while, the wife asked the husband, and if I pass away, would you get married? He's like, no, I'll also just live with your sister. I'll also just live with your sister. Anyway, that's by the way. So then Atika bint Zayd, what did she said? She said, I won't do this. Sayyidina Umar proposed to her. Then we want to read this glossary magazines and these celebrities and these beautiful, you know, lives and all that. But look at Sahaba. They had all the usual things in life. And they lived the normal life. They had all the ups and downs and the backs and forward and whatever. So anyway, Sayyidina Umar proposes to her. She says, my husband gave me a garden that I can't get married to anyone else. Sayyidina Umar said, no, gather the jurors and ask them. I don't think that opinion is on board. So she asked Rulin, and it was told to her that return the garden to the family of your late husband and then you can get married. So she returns the garden, and then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu gets married to her. So when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu gets married, he invites Sayyidina Ali to the walima. Sayyidina Ali tells Sayyidina Umar, إِذَنْ لِي أُكَلِّمَهَا مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحِجَابِ. Oh Umar, can I just say something behind the curtain to your wife? I mean, look at how natural their lives were. It was pure and respectful, but it was usual. So he said, yeah, okay, no problem. So Umar came at the back, and then he said, وَآلَيْتُ لَا تَنْفَكُ عَيْنِي حَزِينَةً عَلَيْكَ وَلَا يَنْفَكُ جِلْدِي أَغْبَرَاتِ. That, oh Atika, I thought in loyalty and faithfulness to your previous spouse, you will never get married. Nashajat nashjan aliyah. She gives off this cry. Sayyidina Umar nudges Ali and he's like, back off Ali, this is my first night. How dare you do this to my bride, man? I called you for the walima, you don't say things like this. But this was their life, they had these things, it was pure. There is this narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anhuma, they were together. And then Sauda radiallahu anha comes. Sauda was slightly elderly. And as they come, she was all dolled up. She was really dolled up for the occasion. Right? Tabruqu. She was really beautiful and dressed up and cleared up. And now Aisha and Hafsa were not so cleared up for the occasion. So one tells the other, I'm going to tease her a little. He said, no, leave her. I mean, you can't do this. You can't do it. He said, no, wait, I'm going to tease her. So she comes and she says, Hafsa, you looking so beautiful. Choice is yours, but Dajjal is out. I don't know if this is the time to dress up. Kharaj al-Aqwar. So she's like in panic and she becomes hysterical. So she's like, what do I do? Alayki bil khayma, there's a tent, hide. So she goes in there and she's in panic and she's trembling. And then the Nabi of Allah comes, maddihku, maddihku, why are you pulling? Fa'awma'a ilayha bi'aydihima. They couldn't express themselves due to laughter and they like pointing, oh Nabi of Allah, there's it. And this is what Sayyidina Umar said, إِنِّي لَيُعْجِبُنِي أَن يَكُونَ الرَّجُلُ فِي أَهْلِهِ مِثْلَ الصَّبِيِّ. فَإِذَا بُغِيَ مِنْهُ حَاجَ وُجِدَ رَجُلْ إِنِّي لَيُعْجِبُنِي. It just thrills me to see a man at home. He could be simple, he could be humble, he could be a kid, he could be playing with his kids, and he's just regular with them. And then when it comes to crunch time, he can just mature and evolve and address the issues that are in the outside world. But at home, he can be a regular, ordinary one-on-one. I just love that of a man. And then the Prophet of Allah goes to Sauda and says, Sauda, what's the issue? She said, Dajjal is out. And then the Prophet of Allah is like, relax, relax, Dajjal. It's a long story. It's just not going to happen like this here. And the Nabi of Allah takes it in the stride and he moves on. Just to move quickly, swiftly through other points. The second thing that we need, you know, very importantly in our marriage is active time for worship. Like we have time for recreation, we have time for humor, we have time for outings. We need to bond together. رَحِمَ اللَّهُ مْرَأً قَامَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. May Allah have mercy on that man who stands up by night. Now we want blessings and happiness in our marriage. Yes, the Prophet of Allah saying, stand up by night. تَوَضَّأَ تَوَسَّكَ. The hadith of Abu Dawud, you perform wudu, you apply the miswak. And then he comes to his wife or she comes to him, vice versa. نَضَحَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ الْمَا. Or نَضَحَتْ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ الْمَا. And نَضَحَ عَلَى وَجْهِهَ الْمَا. Either of the two who gets up quickly, then sprinkles water on the face of the spouse and then nudges him or her and says, let's stand up. And then they pray together and they engage in prayer. This is something most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Salman radiallahu anhu got married and then he was about to have his intimate moment with his spouse, he asked the woman that are there, هَلْ أَنْتُنَّ مُخْرِجَاتٌ عَنِّي مُخَلِّيَاتٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ امْرَأَتِي. Can you people leave? He said, yes. Then he asked his wife, هَلْ أَنْتِ مُطِيعَتِي فِي شَيْءٍ أَمُرُكِ بِهِ. Would you listen if I tell you something? She said, جَلَسْتُ مَجْلِسَ مَنْ يُطَعَ. Go for it, I'm all yours. He said, أَوْصَانِي خَلِيلِي إِذَا اجْتَمَعْتُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِي أَنْ أَجْتَمِعَ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. My Nabi told me when I start my marriage, we do so with humility, modesty, morality, integrity, and piety. Can we both offer prayer and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then pray? And he said, let's go for it. So that's the footing with which we start. We need to take out active time together, husband and wife, and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and create that environment at home of worship and ibadah. لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَقَرَّ لِعَيْنِ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ أَن يَرَى زَوْجَتَهُ وَأَوْلَادَهُ مُطِيعِينَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. There's nothing more soothing to the eye of a believer than to see his spouse and children obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the life of Khadija radiallahu anha briefly. Who was Khadija? She was the daughter of Khuwaylid, who was the son of Asad, who was the son of Abdul Uzza, and who was the son of Qusay. Qusay goes up in the ancestry of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana li minha walad. She bore all my children. Tud'a fil jahiliyya at-tahira. She was known in the era of darkness at at-tahira. This was her honorable title. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana idha dhakara Khadija lam yas'am min al-thana'i, lam yas'am min al-thana'i laha wal-istighfari laha. Aisha radiallahu anha said, when the Prophet of Allah started the topic of Khadija, you couldn't stop him. You couldn't stop him. Now he was just consumed, but she was like this, she was like this, she was like this. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, I mean, after he moved on, after Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, Aisha radiallahu anha said, he would just speak her praises and speak of how great she was and make dua for her forgiveness non-stop. So one day I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِمْرَأَةٌ إِلَّا خَدِيجَةٌ. Oh Prophet of Allah, the way you rave about her, almost you imply like there's no other woman on this earth. Almost like you implying there's no other woman on this earth. That's the way you speak about Khadija radiallahu anha. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in fact, his love for Khadija was so intense. He was sitting and then Hala, the sister of Khadija, comes home and she knocks. فَعَرَفَ إِسْتِئْذَانَ خَدِيجَ فَارْتَاحَ لَهَا. Khadija radiallahu anha's sister comes and knocks. And when she knocks, that knock is nostalgic. It creates this nostalgia in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it triggers memories of his late wife Khadija radiallahu anha. And he said, oh, the way she knocks on the door just reminds me of Khadija. Just knocks, and the way, I mean, can you imagine the position she had done? So I even said, مَا تَذْكُرْ مِنْ عَجُوزٍ مِنْ عَجَائِزِ قُرَيْشِ حَمْرَاءَ الشِّدْقَيْنِ أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. Oh, Nabi of Allah, elderly, old, reddish, how long are you going to rave about this woman? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very angry, and he said, Aisha, don't offend me with regard to Khadija. Aisha, don't offend me with regards to Khadija. And then Aisha radiallahu anha said, La adhkuruha illa bi khair. Can you imagine the position, the role that this woman played and how she anchored herself in the heart and in the relation and in the heart of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Whenever he would receive a sheep or a lamb, يُقَطِّعُهَا أَعْضَاءً, he would then cut the lamb of it, the cut up the lamb, slaughter it, and then ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُ بِهَا فِي صَدَائِقِ خَدِيجَةِ, and then he would say, take this meat parcel and give it to the friend of my late Khadija radiallahu anha. Give this to the friend of my late wife Khadija radiallahu anha. And in that way, he kept the relationship alive of his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. She bore him all his children. She's the only woman who enjoys the exclusive relationship in the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would praise her unending. آمنت بي إذ كفرني الناس صدقتني إذ كذبني الناس وواستني بمالها إذ حرمني الناس. Then we have Sauda radiallahu anha. Look at the relation with each spouse. You would find this amazing charisma of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the manner in which he dealt with situations. So for whatever reason, while the narrations don't divulge it, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended divorce in her. In a relationship, as I previously alluded to it, and I just have a flash of it, and I'm going to say it quickly now, gratitude and gratefulness is paramount. It's integral. It's vital. It's the key ingredients to build a marriage. So look at the incident of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. The hadith is in Bukhari that Sayyidina Ismail gets married and then he goes out to work, and then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam comes home, and the wife is unaware that this is the father of my husband, my father-in-law, and she welcomes him, and then he asks, how's things at home? نَحْنُ فِي ضِيقٍ وَشِدَّةٍ. Oh, we in crisis, things are not good, and it's really difficult, and we break in even, and we're going through a lot of challenges and turbulence in our marriage. Okay, and where's your husband? He's gone out to earn. Long story short, when he returns, convey him my regards, and tell him, يُغَيِّرْ عَتَبَةَ بَابِهِ, that he must change his doorstep. He must change his doorstep. That was a hint and a reference. When Sayyidina Ismail arrived home, كَأَنَّهُ آنَسَ شَيْئًا, he sensed that somebody was home. He sensed somebody was home. Today, unfortunately, that somebody could be something else. You know, that somebody was here was another whole story here, because it's all this infidelity and disloyalty and promiscuity and networking and chatting, and how many marriages have broken up. I mean, we've lost it. I just heard the stats the other day. They say an average human looks at his phone 110 times a day. 7 out of 10 people eat and tweet. Now, where's the quality time? Where's the quality time together? We need to have, you know, shutdown periods with electronics and just spend quality time together. We're going out for a eating or for a meal, and each one gripped and consumed in his or her gadget, which defeats the very purpose of supposed quality time. So anyway, Sayyidina Ismail sensed that somebody came. كَأَنَّهُ آنَسَ شَيْءٍ. He said, who was he? He said, yeah, there was an elderly man. Okay, what he said? He asked us how we live in, and I told him things are really bad and we're not in a good footing. And what did he advise? He said, well, it's time for you to change your doorstep. So he said, okay, that's my dad, and he's implied that we need to dissolve this relationship and we need to move on. And so the Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salat, Sayyidina Ismail then dissolved the relationship. But I heard something amazing from one of my teachers, and may Allah preserve him. He said, Allah referred to Sayyidina Ibrahim in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّا فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَأَوَّاهٌ حَلِيمٌ. Allah in Qurtubi say this 15 meanings. One who cries, one who is soft-natured, etc. But Allah said, Ibrahim, I am declaring he is a very tolerant human. So he mentions somebody who was declared tolerant and forbearant by Allah. Even he lost his tolerance when a woman was ungrateful. Someone who was declared tolerant, right? As men, if fidelity, loyalty, and integrity can come into us, and we can be faithful to our spouse, and speak to her with the same politeness with which you speak to a strange woman, if not more, and give her the same smile that which you would do in the corporate environment, it would rescue our marriages. And to our sisters, if we could acknowledge and reciprocate and be grateful, it would avoid this boat from sinking and from the passengers from drowning. Coming back to the incident of Sauda radiallahu anha, and I would draw it to a close. So Sauda radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intends divorcing her for whatever reason. She sits the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam down, and that's the ayat al-kareema that I recited. And she said, "Hal talaqtani limujidatin wajadtaha alayya?" O Prophet of Allah, have I offended you? Have I insulted you? Have I hurt you? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No." Okay, O Nabi of Allah, can we make a proposal here? And can I be not deprived of being in this marriage, O Nabi of Allah? I want to stay in this marriage, and I want to be honored to die as your spouse and stand up as your spouse on the day of Qiyamah. And this is, you see, when we want to make a peace, then peace needs some form of compromise, and that's exactly what the Quran said, وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ, that every human intrinsically has the inclination towards certain good, that tempt me with something, give me an offer. So either spouse needs to look at how I can make things better and easier. I often say to couples, if you have a chilling period, you say, no, we're having an issue, so we're having a gap. But you can have a gap for 3 months. But if you don't address the issue, it's like a car that's not working. You say, don't use it. But after 3 months, it still won't start. For the 3 months, when you don't try to start it, it won't frustrate you. But it's not like if you leave it there in the garage for 3 months, after 3 months, it's going to work. So the cooling period would just ease off the tension for the period. But post 3 months, if we haven't resolved the issues and addressed the issues and tackled the issues, after 3 months, we would be there where we are. And sometimes revealing is healing. Revealing is healing. That these are my issues. Why carry this rancor and resentment in my heart? Address the issue and resolve it. So just to conclude on that note, that she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are you angry with me? And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, not really. He said, O Prophet of Allah, I am asking you, please don't divorce me. وَلَكِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أُبْعَثَ مَعَ نِسَائِكَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, I really want to die as your spouse and stand up as your partner on the day of Qiyamah. And this is my proposal to you, O Prophet of Allah. In both ways, I'm just using this as an example. Husband and wife needs to work towards making proposal to win the confidence of one another. To win the confidence. Now, you know, domestic chores, right? Just allow me 5 minutes. I just want to mention one incident because I have a flash of it, and I'll try and wrap up. Apologies for that. So, one of the challenges of life today is striking a balance. We have some people that would be very religious in terms of rituals and negligent in terms of domestic duties. And others would be super husbands but not a good worshipper himself. And I think one of the challenges of life is finding the correct balance in everything. Finding the correct balance. We have to have everything in balance and having this moderation in place. So Sa'id bin Amir was appointed as the governor of Hims. Hims was notorious. It was known as Al-Kuwaifatu Sughra, the small Kufa, because the people there used to moan and groan, and you know, you never can win them. A lot of places today they can have called Kuwaifatu Sughra as well. You never win them and get their happiness on board. Long story short, they complained to Sayyidina Umar, our governor, we have four issues with him. Nashku arba'an min af'alihi. Number one, la yakhruj ilayna hatta yata'ala al-nahar. So Sayyidina Umar said, bring him forward, let's summon him. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the governor is brought to book. Nobody was above the law. Everybody was answerable and transparent. He's brought to the court. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, what's your allegations? He says, this man, he would only come to us late in the morning. Early morning, you just cannot meet him. You can't access him. Now this is the governor. He's a sahabi. He said, laysa li ahli khadim. The truth is, my wife doesn't have a domestic helper or an assistant. So the morning of my day is devoted to my spouse in attending to domestic chores. I make that time, and that's the time I have to do it because there's no other part in the day to do it. Now, how many of us have that balance? And even if we start it, how long do we sustain it? You know, I like to always say, I like to give these talks on marriages away from home. Because when I'm at home, then my wife is like, why did you say this here? What about you? And you know, so it's nice. I can give you this rosy picture. You know what? I can just sit and blow my trumpet and blow my horn and say, do this and do this, and this is how you do it. You know, but when my kids are there and my wife is in the congregation, then they dissect. There's a post-mortem of my lecture. But Abu, you said this, and then my wife is like, so this is awesome. This is just good. You know what? Go for it. Anyway, so the balance in place, that's my morning. We would take our time for jamin. We would take our time to follow news. We would take our time to read the bulletin. But we don't take our time to do the things at home. Number one. Number two, لا يجيب أحدا بليل. In the night, he doesn't respond to our calls. He said, جَعَلْتُ النَّهَارَ لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْتُ اللَّيْلَ لِلَّهِ.
Umar, the morning is with my wife, the day is with the creation. If I don't give the night to my creator, then what do I give to him? It's balance, balance. I got to put it in. A believer's life is a life with a timetable. A man without a timetable, that's a recipe for disaster. Recently, I gave a talk on just balance. You need to create a balance in your life. This is it. Sorry, brother, I need to go. We can't be having la samurata ba'd al-isha. I can't be having this long chat center because my day starts early. A believer has a life. He has a routine. Okay, that's the second issue. The third issue is, وَلَهُ يَوْمٌ فِي الشَّهْرِ لَا يَخْرُجْ إِلَيْنَا. One day in the month, you can't meet the man. So you have morning crisis, night crisis, and then one day in the month. I said, what's the issue? He said, I only own the clothes I wear. At least once a month, I need to wash it. So he takes up the better part. Look at the different dimensions he embodies. Amazing husband, amazing worshipper, simple ruler. So this is the clothes I have, and I have to wash it, and I have to attend to it. And then the fourth thing is, we are sitting, and then he just collapses, and he passes out, and then we try to revive him, and then he's out. And this could happen just, you know, at the most awkward moment, and no explanation. So like, what's this all about? He said, oh, this is a very painful tale. This is a very painful tale. You know, in English, they say, every man has a dark chapter which he reads softly. Each man has a dark chapter which he doesn't read out loud. The boy came to his dad. Dad, I got my report. And I found yours also. It was like before. What did you do? Dad, I got yours. And I broke. Okay, put them both aside. What else can I tell you? What else can I tell you? Otherwise, I was this amazing kid and I was like this. So you know what? I've got my report and I found yours also, you know? Huh? So there's this, in humor, this one person said, he told a person, listen, tomorrow when you get my results, then just come to my dad and while I'll be with him, but don't, if it's good, then tell me the good news. And if it's bad news, then just tell me one brother passed away, you know? Just tell me like that, your one brother passed away. So I will understand the hint. So next day he comes to him, he says, how are you doing? He said, yeah, he said, the whole ummah passed away. Anyway, that's besides the point. Look at the balance. So what's your issue? You're sitting and you just pass out. He said, oh, this goes back to my youth. Every angle in his life. We need balance in our life. We can't forget the responsibilities. Some people become amazing businessmen, but terrible fathers, or amazing spouses, but horrible neighbors, or brilliant musallis, but not, you know, decent family members. Huh? Family members. And it's very easy to speak about a family life, but to walk the talk is probably the most challenging thing. To walk the talk, to deliver on what you claim and what you advocate and what you promote. He said, I was a kid, and Khubayb bin Adi was being executed, and it was day in Makkah, and the Muslims were sad, and I was all excited because I was a non-Muslim, and we all gathered there, and we said, yeah, we're going to kill a Muslim, and these Muslims are like this. And I was a little kid in my excitement and my disbelief. I also came, and I gathered, and I thronged around, and then I seen this young man, and I felt nothing about it because I had this hostility against the Muslims, and he was so calm and calculated and relaxed. فَقَدْ جَمَعُوا أَبَنَاءَهُمْ وَنِسَاءَهُمْ وَقُرِّبْتُ مِنْ جِذْعٍ طَوِيلٍ مُمَنَّعِي إِلَى اللَّهِ أَشْكُو كُرْبَتِي ثُمَّ غُرْبَتِي وَمَا أَرْسَدَ الْأَحْزَابُ عِنْدَ مَسْرَعِي فَذَا الْعَرْشُ صَبِّرْنِي عَلَى مَا يُرَادُ بِي فَقَدْ بَضَّعُوا لَحْمِي وَقَدْ بَانَ مَطْعَمِي فلست أبالي حين أقتل مسلما على أي جنب كان لله مسرعي وذلك في ذات الإله وإن يشأ يبارك على أوصالي شلو ممزعي. He sang these couplets and we turned his face and he said, I don't care the direction you turn me as long as I know I die for the right cause. In English they say, it's better to die for the right, it's better to die for a cause that will live than to live for a cause that will die. It's better to die for a cause that will live than to live for a cause that will die. It's actually the quote of a great stalwart that I had read once in a flight. Be it as it may, I was amongst those that were present and this great soldier of Islam was executed. And post after that, my life changed and I became a Muslim. But often that memory haunts me. And I cannot take this and delete this from my life. And I ask myself, you were a young man, you were excited over the death of an innocent person, and you rejoice over the execution of this Muslim. And then I just wonder if Allah is going to question me, then I just pass out. I just pass out. So these were the four things. Now look at reflection over his past, cognizance of his domestic responsibilities,
communication with his creator, simplicity in his dress, and being the man in office. We need to bring that fine balance in our life. So that radiallahu anhu makes the proposal to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, keep me in your marriage. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam keeps this. And then she says, I forfeit my right. That on my night, O Prophet of Allah, you can go and visit your wife, Aisha radiallahu anha. We know what an element of jealousy in a woman is. Aisha radiallahu anha herself says, the narration is in Tabaqat ibn Sa'd. She says, when the Prophet of Allah got married to Umm Salma, hazintu huznan shadida. When the Prophet of Allah got married to Umm Salma, I went through a depression. And why? Why did I go through this depression? Because I heard that she is much more beautiful and her beauty intimidated me. Wow. This was clean, honest, transparent, candid. So I bounced this off Hafsa. I said, Hafsa, I'm getting sick. Why? Because Umm Salma is so beautiful. So Hafsa said, Aisha, this is your jealousy. She is beautiful, but nothing to scream about. I'm paraphrasing here. إِنَّهَا جَمِيلًا وَلَكِنْ لَيْسَتْ كَمَا تَقُولِينَ. She is beautiful, but it's your... You see, when you have jealousy for any person, then the individual becomes more great than what he actually is due to your level of envy and anxiety and anguish. That's how we all are. They become more attractive or whatever. If there's a competitor in the market and he intimidates you, now suddenly you feel his business is more booming than what it actually is. But meanwhile, it's just people visiting him in his shop. It's not that it's necessary clients and people coming to buy or whatever, but because of that element. So listen, oh Aisha, relax. So I went back to see Umm Salma and I hid in ambush and I watched her and I said, "Oh, innaha jamila, she is beautiful and much more than what I even thought." So I went more depressed. So I came back to Hafsa radiallahu anha and I said, "Listen, man, this is not getting better." She said, "Aisha, I'm telling you, it's your jealousy that's getting the better of you. Settle down. Relax yourself. What am I saying to you, my brother? The marriages of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were perfect. Were they perfect because there were no issues, or they were perfect because of the broad shoulders of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Were they perfect because their spouses didn't have any internal issues? Were they perfect because there were no glitches? They had all the common ups and downs and the curve balls, but it was how they dealt with it. And subhanallah, they were the best of couples and the most amazing of relationships. And then I went back and I realized that there was truth in what was said. And I realized it was my jealousy. It was my envy. And she was a woman, and any woman would have that, and naturally so and rightfully so. And we have utmost respect and regard for Aisha radiallahu anha and for every spouse. And may Allah bless them. They live that natural life so we can have that direction and guidance and that cue and moral navigation. So imagine, Sauda radiallahu anha was way elder than Aisha. But she forfeits her right. And she said, I am giving my right to Aisha radiallahu anha, because I know, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have this attachment to Aisha. فَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقْسِمُ لِعَيْشَةَ يَوْمَيْنِ يَوْمَهَا وَيَوْمَ سَوْدَى. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would then give Sauda radiallahu anha 2 days. Aisha radiallahu anha 2 days. 1 day for Aisha radiallahu anha and 1 day for Sauda radiallahu anha. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create within us that composure, that balance. The last ayah, definitely, and this is to sum up my talk. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwan lakum fahdharuhum wa in ta'fu wa tasfahu wa taghfiru fa inna allaha ghafurur rahim. Some sahaba wanted to migrate, and when they wanted to migrate, their wife said, no, you can't migrate. Their children said, no, you can't go, you got to stay here. So they stayed back. So Allah revealed the verse, listen, some of your spouses and your kids are your enemies, so be careful. So when Allah revealed the verse that they are your enemies, they decided to be harsh and strong towards them. So Allah said, no, as much as what they did was wrong, there's no other place I love you to forgive so much as much as forgiving your wife and your children. There's no place in the Quran where Allah has put all the words of forgiveness together. Some place Allah says fa'fu, some places Allah says fa'fu wasfahu. But here Allah said, wa in ta'fu wa tasfahu wa taghfiru. Allah said, forgive, overlook and pardon. So Allah said, I love forgiveness everywhere, but the place I love it the most is you forgive your spouse and your children. In one verse, Allah said, their wrong is that they are your enemies. Sahaba decided to become harsh. Allah said, that's not the way. In Ruhul Maani, Allama Alusi Baghdadi has written under this ayah that if your children revolt and rebel, this ayah tells you, you have to learn to forgive them and win them, address the wrong, but you cannot shun them. And this is one of the most challenging things of life, that you keep on going back together and you know you're going to have an argument, forgive and move forward. But don't carry that rancor and that harbor in your hearts. May Allah bless us with goodness and happiness in our marriage, and let that separate us and never talaq. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.